Now, brothers and sisters, we do not need to write to you about times and dates. You know very well that the day the Lord comes again will be a surprise, like a thief that comes in the night. While people are saying, "We have peace and we are safe," they will be destroyed quickly. It is like pains that come quickly to a woman having a baby. Those people will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not living in darkness. And so that day will not surprise you like a thief. You are all people who belong to the light and to the day. We do not belong to the night or to darkness. So we should not be like other people who are sleeping. We should be awake and have self-control. Those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But we belong to the day. So we should control ourselves. We should wear faith and love to protect us. And the hope of salvation should be our helmet. God did not choose us to suffer his anger, but to have salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died for us so that we can live together with him, whether we are alive or dead when he comes. So encourage each other and give each other strength, just as you are doing now. Now, brothers and sisters, we ask you to appreciate those who work hard among you, who lead you in the Lord and teach you. Respect them with a very special love because of the work they do. Live in peace with each other. We ask you, brothers and sisters, to warn those who do not work. Encourage the people who are afraid. Help those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. Be sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong. But always try and do what is good for each other and for all people. Always be joyful. Pray continually and give thanks whatever happens. This is what God wants for you in Christ Jesus.
Hello and good morning to Beverley Baptist Church. I'm excited for what God has to say to us today. Let us take a moment in the stillness. Let us take a breath and be expectant to what God has to say to us in these circumstances. I'm excited to hear what he says to me. I hope you're excited to hear what he says to you. For some of us, it may be a case of well done, good and faithful servant. For others, it may be a little bit more challenging. It may be, I'm your God and I love you. I know you and I know your circumstance and I want what's best for you in this, so I ask more of you. Whichever it is, let us be expectant to hear from our God. In a practical sense, maybe grab a piece of paper and a pen. We may not hear him within the service, but it may be on reflecting on some of the words said, some of the songs we sing, that God leaves an impression that we can hear from him, that we can hear what he wants us to do in our lives. Let us explore the background of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5 is our passage today. Thessalonians was written around 52-53 AD. It's said to be one of the earliest epistles, earliest letters of Paul. He wasn't always a follower of Christ. In fact, he was one of the biggest persecutors of Christians around his time. He was brought to God by God himself. God took away his sight, sent him a messenger, brought it back again, and helped him see who God was. Helped Paul to find the error of his ways and to live a life of service to him. A relationship with Jesus. A relationship with God. Paul was one of the biggest evangelists of his time and brought Christianity across Europe. Thessalonica at the time, Thessalonica now, was a bustling city of trade. It was classed as a Roman capital called Macedon. A prosperous city with a large Jewish community. Paul had visited previously. He'd been to Thessalonica, he'd talked to them about God, he'd showed them who Jesus was and established a church. Some of the Jewish community were not happy to hear what Paul had to say and they threatened him. They wanted to imprison him and take him to the courts, so Paul escaped. But he didn't neglect his church. He didn't forget what they were going through. He kept writing these letters to encourage and support them, to help them grow in a closer relationship with God. At the time, the church in Thessalonica was seen as a strong church that had seen through much suffering and persecution. Now, maybe Paul understood a bit about this persecution, a bit about what they were facing, because he had once been a persecutor. And perhaps it was his own experiences as well that led him to comfort them, the persecution he may have experienced. So, 1 Thessalonians is a letter from Paul, Timothy and Silas that he sends with Timothy to the church to support and grow them in God's love. And the message that God has for you today, or the message he always has, is to bring you in a closer relationship to him and who you are in him. Although the message is from Paul, it can be seen as a direct message from God. The main message we're focusing on, the main passage, sorry, we're focusing on, is 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is not a practically simple thing for many people. If you've mastered being thankful and rejoicing in hard times, well done. Maybe you can share that with some of us. That's great, and I am truly happy for you. But if, like me, thankfulness and rejoicing in adversity is not a natural state of being, you are not alone. You are human and God recognises your humanity. But he does call us to something more. He asks this not out of his own good, but knowing that it is good for us. In his infinite wisdom, he knows us and knows how we work. Even in the hardest of times, rejoicing and thankfulness can bring light into the darkness, can make the hard situations just that bit better. And when there is light, darkness will not overcome. Did you know, in scientific terms, thankfulness has been shown to have health benefits? Good cholesterol levels increase, bad cholesterol levels lower. High blood pressure can be lower, sleep can be improved, in particular in times of stress, and it's when we're stressed that it is harder to be thankful and rejoicing, so this is particularly difficult. It can also, in some, in mild anxiety and depression, it can help them too. God knows this and he wants what's best for his children. But before we put additional pressure on ourselves, we need to be gracious. We need to be forgiving towards our own selves and recognise it's not easy. Rejoice always, praying continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Another word for thankfulness is gratitude. Let's consider that for a moment. Gratia. also links with the word grace and graciousness. Having grace in our own lives, grace towards ourselves and others, directing our thankfulness to God and rejoicing even in hard times is not only kind, but it helps our relationships with ourselves and with others. We are human and we should not expect to perfect this overnight. Also, God is not asking us to pretend or be fake. How do we know this? Well, King David. King David in the Psalms is a particular example. Nigel mentioned King David, a man out after God's own heart, last week. He had a real, honest relationship with God. He told God how hard it was, how angry he was, how sad he was. But he also was thankful and rejoiced and danced because God was in his life. Perhaps you can spend some time in the Psalms. Perhaps you can turn to each other now if you're with someone or if you're available on Messenger to message one another and think of other examples in the Bible of where people are real about how they feel with God, when people are real about what's going on in their lives. Because being thankful and rejoicing isn't putting up fake positivity, but it is finding the light in the darkness. This is about praying continuously and rejoicing. Thessalonians is said to have an eschatological view, a bit of a mouthful of a word. Eschatological means it's focusing on things to come. It's focusing on things of heaven. It's focusing on the end times. No matter how dark things get, there are always signs of heaven around you. St. Julian of Norwich, from the Middle Ages, she wrote a book called Revelations of Divine Love, where she had visions of Jesus being crucified. She contemplated over these visions, contemplated what God was saying to her, what they might mean. And she resolved that God did not say, thou shalt not be tempted, thou shalt not be travailed, thou shalt not be diseased. But he did say, thou shalt not be overcome. All shall be well, all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Let's hear that again. All shall be well, all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. If it's not good, it's not finished. Being in an attitude of prayer continuously is not easy. Being in an attitude of thankfulness and rejoicing in our darkest of times is even harder. So what is praying continuously? What does that mean? For me, praying continuously means having God in my life from the moment I wake, from the moment I sleep. He's there anyway, but it's recognising him. It's bringing him into my thought processes and my conversations. It's about sharing my frustrations. It's about sharing my joys. It's about trying to see things from God's perspective. Now, good things can be found even in the darkest of circumstances. Let us turn to Philippians 4:4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Don't be anxious. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving will bring you peace. By focusing on whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is praiseworthy, rejoice in these things through prayer. Rejoice in the good that's in life. This is telling us, this is communicating to us that we will find peace in the hardest of situations if we look at the good if we focus our eyes on the light and not the dark. Again, this is not about being real, it's about seeing the real light that's there. And then our hearts will be guarded from our circumstance. This can sometimes result in a continuous experience of a peace that just doesn't seem to fit the situation we're in. Or it can be scatterings of lightness within the darkest days and cut through some of the pain and despair. I have experienced both at times, both with the breakdown of my marriage and divorce. And working in the hospice, I have seen the people in the most darkest circumstances. And out of work, I've known families facing the death of a young child, but seeing light in the love shown by others around them, or the mark that their child made on this world, the legacy he leaves. Now that didn't take away the pain or the despair, but it brought light, it brought a certain balm to the situation, and it brought comfort and it carried them through. Again, I realise it's not easy when we're tired and worn. It's even harder when you're not in a regular thankfulness habit. Not in a regular pattern of rejoicing. We make it difficult for ourselves sometimes. Even in the good times, we can forget to be thankful. We can forget to give thanks. But the good news is we can develop practices that are healthy. We can develop good habits. It only takes doing something 21 times to make a good habit. I'll come back to that a bit later. But if we remember, scientifically as well, gratefulness increases our overall well-being. It can bring satisfaction to life and it can release important brain changing chemicals. Dopamine, serotonin, and oxytocin, happy hormones. They can affect our brain so it becomes easier to be thankful and rejoice. You see, consistency here is important. That's why he's saying continuously and always. As humans, we're negatively biased. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what the will of God is." Sometimes within me, I have an immediate reaction to something. And I have to take a moment and think, that is the worldly way, not the godly way. But he has a good, pleasing and perfect will for our lives. And with the renewing our mind, the focusing on the lightness, we can deal better with the darkness. We can believe God's plan for us that he has is good. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." The other good news is, we don't do this alone. Some may remember Steph's flying geese. I do bring this up often in my sermons because I think God really had something long term to say to me about that. We are a flock and we flock together. At times we need to shelter in one another's wings. Turning back to 1 Thessalonians 5, we can notice that it addresses brothers and sisters. It addresses a church family, a community. It's a family letter. It says in 1 Thessalonians 10, "He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Jesus died for us, making us family. Rising again, he lives with us. God's real in our presence, in our midst, in the form of the Holy Spirit. He can draw us together if we let him. That's one of the reasons church fellowship's so important, either face to face or virtually. Making a conscious effort to meet with God together. We do not always need to meet together to focus on God, but to grow relationships with one another, we do. Meeting in fellowship, being committed to relationship with one another in fellowship, strengthens our family bonds. When times are tough, When times are dark, it's easier for someone to hold the Christ-light for us, or for us to let someone hold the Christ-light for us, if we spend that time. We each have some responsibility of commitment in this, should we choose to accept it. It's an opportunity. Sometimes it can feel like a bit of a chore, but it's what God wants for us, to be in community with one another. Rejoice always, pray continuously, give thanks on all circumstances. This is not for just for individuals, this is a family. We can support each other in hearing one another's laments. We can encourage each other when we're disheartened. We can help each other when one is feeling weak. We can be patient with one another, with loving gentleness. In a right relationship, we can even draw attention to negative cycles of thinking. We can shed light on areas of darkness. We can encourage each other to give thanks and rejoice. Or we can give thanks and rejoice in the presence and before one another. By focusing on God's light in the darkness of times, we can find light for each other. We can remind each other of the value we hold in God and His love for us. We can remind each other of the things to be thankful for. So practically, how can we do this? Well, as I said, we can spend time looking at God's word. We can look at the Psalms and look at David. We can look at God's love for us. We can also give thanks to the Lord for three little things every day. At the start of every day, we can build up from there. And as I said before, a habit just takes 21 times. Do something 21 times and it can become a habit. We can spend maybe a whole month. People give up wine for a month. They stop smoking for a month. They give up meat for a month. We can develop a practice of thankfulness within a month. 21 days. Three little things. Or perhaps in a month we can be intentional about reminding each other about how thankful we are for one another. The value we each hold to each other. We can be thankful that the bad times don't last forever. Perhaps we could write when we're feeling thankful on a bit of a lollipop stick or a piece of paper and put it in a jar, and the times that are our darkest, we can take them out. Them memories, them moments, them good times with God, the things we recognise that He loves us. We can take them out when we're at our darkest and we can use them to pray with. Maybe we can write a letter or a note to somebody in the church that's having a hard time to say how thankful we are for them, how we rejoice in them and how valuable they are. And when we're struggling, we can talk to one another. We can say, hey, I'm finding it hard to be continuously thankful today. I'm finding it hard to bring up positive things in my life today. Because we have grace for one another, because God has grace for us. So I challenge us this harvest time, over this next week, to make one step forward in praying continuously and being thankful and rejoicing. Perhaps you could share your own ideas with one another and find ways to support one another as we fulfill what God is asking of us when He says, rejoice always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, because He knows it's best for us. Let us pray. Thank you, Father God, for your Son Jesus, for His sacrifice on the cross, for His gift of grace, for your love and your wisdom. Thank you that you wish to be in relationship with us, that you want to draw us closer to you, that you want us to be our best selves and have our best lives. Thank you for the well done's or the challenges that you give us. Help us to remain expectant for you to speak to us. Help us to know your love. Father God, help us to distill what we've heard today. Help us to work out what you're trying to say, what you're asking of us, what practical actions you want us to take forward from today. Help cultivating in us a continuous prayerful habit of thankfulness and rejoicing. Help us to be open and vulnerable and courageously honest with somebody in our fellowship, in our family, if we are struggling in this area. Help us find ways to support one another in our flock. Help us to shelter under each other's wings when needed, and help us to throw our wings out when others need shelter. Father God, only you can know completely our hearts and our circumstance. And yet you love us. And you call us to be your children, as you call us to be brothers and sisters to one another. May we rejoice and be thankful for one another. May we be committed to one another in unity, in family. May your lightness shine in our darkest days. May you help us shine light in others' lives. And may we remain thankful and rejoicing all the days of our lives till we come home to you or Jesus comes back to earth again, whichever is soonest. And may we keep our eyes on Jesus so that the waves do not crash over our heads. So that within the storms of life, Jesus is our focus. And that his love remains our guide. In Jesus' name.